Hey, welcome everybody to Vineyard Church North Phoenix Online. So glad you're with us this weekend. I want to say happy Father's Day to all you men out there. I hope that you have can enjoy your weekend at least a little bit. Hey, where I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible is in James chapter 4. James 4, we're going to begin with verse 6. So if you have your Bible or you have an app, open it up there. And then before we dive into that, I just want to mention the offering. You know, there are lots of ways that you can give to God through the Vineyard. You can do it on our website. You can do it by texting to give. You can go on MyVC to give. If you want to mail in checks or cash, you're able to do that as well. But I want to remind you that it really matters that you and I give financially to God and continue to be faithful to Him that way through our church, because it really helps people in so many tangible ways. And I know so many of you are incredibly faithful and generous. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for those who have been faithful and generous in your giving. We're going to pray. Would you pause with me for a moment? We're going to pray, ask God to bless our offerings back to Him whenever we give them. But most importantly, let's open our hearts to God and say, God, would you speak to me out of the Bible right now? So would you pray with me? Lord, we're grateful that we get to participate with what you're doing in the world in all kinds of ways, but one way is by what we give back to you financially. And we pray, God, that whenever we give back to you, that you would use it for your glory and to help people in tangible ways, and you would bless us in our faithfulness and giving back to you. And now, Lord, as we look into the scriptures, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come in each household, in each car, wherever people are watching, and that you would speak into every heart and in every mind. And I pray that you would empower me, God, to deliver this message in a way that would honor you and be helpful to all those that are watching. We're grateful that we're able to do this as a church family, God. Come and have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last weekend I started a brand new series called Breaking Free from Besetting Sins. Breaking Free from Besetting Sins. So how do we do that? I mean, how do we get God's power in our life to break free from those things in our life, those sins in our life that are tripping us up? In other words, how do I get the power to make the changes in my life that I want to make? Well, thankfully, the Apostle James, he gives us insight to this in James 4, 6. I had to turn there. And it says, and he, God, gives a greater grace. And then it goes on and says, therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace, underline the word grace, to the humble. Grace to the humble. Now, I know many of you have been taught sort of the traditional definition of grace, which is unmerited favor. But I don't really think that's a very good definition of grace when you actually try to use it biblically in the Bible. I think a much better definition for grace is that grace is God's power and desire to do His will in any situation. God's power and desire to do God's will in any situation. One of the reasons I believe that that's a much better definition than unmerited favor is because of what it says in John 1, verse 14, where it says, Jesus was full of grace and truth. Well, Jesus is obviously God in the flesh, and he's full of grace. Well, Jesus does not need to be filled with unmerited favor. He's God in the flesh. And so a much better definition biblically of grace, God's power and desire to do God's will in any situation. But to receive God's grace, what does James say in this verse? He says that we need to have humility. Because when I'm filled with pride, I'm not going to have the power I need to change. But when I'm filled with humility, then I do have the power to change. Now, I know when you start talking about pride, a lot of people think that all pride is bad. That's actually not true. There are two kinds of pride. One is good pride, things like self-respect, dignity, satisfaction in a job well done, joy in seeing others succeed. You know, I'm proud of my kids because they got straight A's or whatever. But then there's bad pride, which is conceit, egotism, selfishness, an attitude of superiority, those kinds of things. You know, somebody once said that egotism is the only disease that when you have it, it makes other people sick. That's so true, isn't it? You know, there are a lot of stars and celebrities that are known for not having a lot of humility. Muhammad Ali, early on in his career, he was known for not having a lot of humility. In fact, one time, Muhammad Ali was on an airplane, and he wouldn't fasten his seatbelt, and the flight attendant kept saying to him, Sir, you have to fasten your seatbelt. He kept saying, no, no, no. She asked him again, and finally he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. To which she responded, Superman don't need no airplane either. I mean, what a great response, right? You know, Vince Lombardi, the late, great football coach of the Green Bay Packers, you know, one time he climbed into bed with his wife, Marie, and Marie said, God, your feet are cold. Vince said, honey, in the privacy of our own home, you don't have to call me God. You can call me Vince. Not a lot of humility. The fact is, pride is very easy to see in other people, but it's hard to see in ourselves. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, Brian, is pride really that bad of a thing? I mean, is it really that bad of a thing? Yeah, it is. You know why? Because when we're prideful, it causes all kinds of other problems in our life. I just want to point out three problems that pride causes. One is pride prevents me from growing. You know, if I'm prideful, if I think I have it all together, then I don't have any motivation to keep learning and developing and growing and changing. You know, somebody once said, when the head starts swelling, the mind stops growing. That's pretty true. And by the way, if you think you don't really need this message today because it's about pride, that means you probably really, really need it. Look at Proverbs 26:12. There's more hope for fools than for people who think they are wise. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the denial of pride. The pride that causes me to deny that I have any weaknesses. It's like the guy who says, you know, if I knew what my weaknesses were, I'd work on them. I just can't think of any weaknesses I have. If you're like that and you're married, here's a suggestion. Ask your spouse. If you don't know what your weaknesses are, ask your spouse. I'm sure they'll be very glad to let you know what your weaknesses are. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 17. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction. Underline this last part. But he who ignores reproof goes astray. You know what that means? It means pride keeps me from getting help. You know, for example, if I have marital problems, but I won't talk to anybody about them, that's pride. That keeps me from growing. And the same thing is true if I have problems with my finances, or I have a substance abuse problem, or I have a porn problem, or I have a problem with my prayer life or reading the Bible or whatever. If I'm too prideful to get help by going to other people, then that's a problem. It'll keep me from growing. Let me ask you, do you have any problems in your life right now? Any problems at all? Have you shared those problems with anyone? If not, that's pride. See, the truth is, most people would rather look smart than be smart. And the way to be smart is to be humble. So ask yourself, am I teachable? Am I willing to get help when I'm struggling? So pride prevents me from growing. The second problem that pride causes is it poisons my relationships. Why? Because when we act out of pride, we tend to be demanding and unsympathetic. We have the attitude, my way is the right way. We become rude and obnoxious. We explode in anger when we're criticized. And most of all, we won't admit it when we're wrong. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. Wherever you are, raise your hand if you're married. Okay, if you're married, you really need to hear this. This will help you. The root of so many marriage problems is just plain old pride. It is. You know, counselors and therapists say that their major problem in helping people with marriage problems is that people wait way too long to come to them for help. And the reason they wait is because they're prideful. A husband doesn't want to go to a marriage counselor because, well, I don't want to admit that you may be right. Or I don't want to admit to anybody that we have any marriage problems. See, when I refuse to admit that I'm part of the problem, that's pride, and it destroys relationships. I mean, so many family conflicts could be resolved if we just admit our pride and humble ourselves before each other. You know, it's like the father who tells his son, get out, never come back. And then he's too proud to admit that he was wrong. And the relationship is poisoned. You know what the five most difficult words for most people to say are? I'm sorry, I was wrong. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Most people have a very hard time saying that. So we're going to practice it right now out loud, okay? Go ahead. I'm sorry, I was wrong. One more time. I'm sorry, I was wrong. That will help your relationships get better, no matter what that relationship is, in all kinds of different ways if you're not too proud to say that. See, the key to reconciliation and relationships, we need to swallow our pride. Swallow it. And by the way, the good news is, when you swallow your pride, pride has no calories, no fat content. I think it's keto, I'm not sure. Swallow your pride. All right, the third problem that pride causes, it causes stress and anxiety. Why? Because when I'm prideful, I worry a whole lot about my, quote, image. It's all about, how do I look? What do other people think about me? You know, we live in a very me-centered society, don't we? We're very concerned about our image, about our status, about our position. I mean, even the way we dress our babies and our kids and the pictures that we post on social media, you know, we edit them for 15 minutes to make sure they're just right before we post them. You know, by putting so much emphasis on those kinds of things, you know what we're teaching our kids is important in life? We're teaching our kids, hey, you know what's important? How do I look? What's my image like? What do other people think about me? See, the truth is, part of what pride is the fear of man. The fear of what other people think about me. That's part of what goes into pride. Like, you know, the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, a trap. But he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. You know, another reason pride causes stress and anxiety is because pride can cause depression too. You know why? Because when I'm living one trying to live one image, but inside I know I'm different from what I'm trying to live, I'm going to get depressed. Because I may fool you, but I can't fool myself. And it causes depression and discouragement. See, the truth is, humility is the mark of an emotionally healthy person. Because when you're humble, That means you're not so worried about your image. Therefore, you're free to be you. And that frees you from all kinds of stress, all kinds of anxiety, all kinds of depression. All right, so what's the way to humility and happiness? I'm going to give you 5 steps. None of these are easy. Easy to understand, not easy to put in practice. The way to humility and happiness, the first one is I need to admit my weaknesses honestly. Look at Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions, his weaknesses, his sins, will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. See, if I don't admit my weaknesses, I can't work on them. You know, like the teenage boy who admitted to his sister that he had the sin of vanity. She said, how? He said, every time I look in a mirror, I think to myself, what a hunk. His sister said, that's no sin. That's just ignorance. Brothers and sisters, right? Some of you can relate. So humility starts with being honest about my weaknesses. I don't have it all together, and neither do you. Second step to humility and happiness, I need to evaluate my strengths realistically. Why is that important? Because pride is based on a false evaluation of ourselves. Humility is based on truth and reality. Paul said it like this, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Now underline these next 2 sentences. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. He's saying you need to be realistic and honest when you evaluate yourself. Another thing I want you to know about humility is that humility does not mean putting yourself down. So many people think if I'm humble, that means I need to put myself down. I need to say, I'm no good. I'm just a piece of junk. I'm just trash. I'm just a worm. No. You're incredibly valuable. Jesus didn't die for worms, but he died for you. You have incredible value. That's not humility. Humility is not denying your strengths. Humility is being honest about your weaknesses and thankful for your strengths. You do have strengths. Be thankful for them and realistic about them. See, your strengths are given to you by God. Therefore, they're nothing to be proud of. I mean, you didn't earn them. You know, I have a teaching gift. I know that. God gave that to me. I didn't do anything to earn it. It's a gift that God has given me. Now, I'm responsible to try to develop that gift, mature that gift, but I didn't earn that gift, and therefore it shouldn't cause any pride in me. You know, you have gifts, but just because you do, you're not to be proud about them. You know, maybe you have the gift of making money, or maybe you have the gift of an incredible intellect. Maybe you have the gift of friendliness, or the gift of prayer, or the gift of giving, or the gift of serving, or whatever. You need to be thankful for the gifts you have. But they're nothing to be proud of. You didn't earn them. Develop them to their full potential. But you didn't earn them. So just evaluate your strengths realistically. The third step to humility and happiness is be grateful for your successes. Everything you have comes from God. So be grateful. Look at these verses, James 1. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. You know what these verses are saying? They're saying everything that you have comes from God, everything. You say, well, what do you mean, Brian? Well, for example, how many of you chose your DNA? How many of you chose your chromosomes? How many of you chose when in history you would be born? How many of you chose your parents? How many of you chose where you were born in the world? We didn't choose any of those things. Everything we have is given to us by God. You know, like somebody once said, what you have is your gift from God. What you do with what you have is your gift to God. So I would encourage you to always remember two things about this. God is the source of your success. No matter how much success you have, always remember, God is your source. And then the other thing to remember is where you've come from. Remember your roots. No matter how successful you might become in life, remember your roots. You know, Thor and I, my wife and I, we do that all the time. You know, I oversee a lot of pastors in the Vineyard movement and so forth, and a lot of times they're like, wow, it's incredible what God has done through you and Thora and all that. We never are tempted to become prideful because of those things, because we know this has all been God. We tell each other and we tell other people all the time, we're really two nobodies from nowhere. That is the truth. And if God can do what he's done through us, he can do anything from anybody. So we're not tempted to be prideful about that. So be grateful for your successes. We're super grateful for the success that God has given us. All right, the fourth step to humility and happiness is serve others unselfishly. You know, studies in psychology have said that the average 30-year-old in America today is 10 times more likely to be depressed than his or her parents, and 20 times more likely to be depressed than his or her grandparents. 20 times more likely. See, the fact is, the rise of depression in America comes from the me generation. You know, what's best for me? What's in it for me? I don't really care that much about others. What's in it for me? And when you only live for yourself, you're asking for depression. You know why? Because God didn't create us to function living only for ourselves. See, the truth is, the more you help other people, the more it gets your focus off of yourself and lifts you out of your depression. That's the truth. Being part of a small group and serving in our church in some way, that can really, really help with that. You know, Paul said it like this. These are two of my favorite verses. Philippians 2, 3 and 4, he said, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, listen to this, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Man, if we just obeyed those two verses, listen to this. Think how differently the narrative might be concerning racial injustice in our country. Just think how different the narrative might be if we put other people in front of ourselves. And I just want to take this moment to say parenthetically, it is inexcusable for a follower of Jesus to participate in any kind of injustice, including and maybe even especially racial injustice. It's inexcusable to call yourself a follower of Jesus and be involved in any kind of injustice, especially racial injustice. Inexcusable. Now you might be thinking, well, Brian, I don't participate in racial injustice. Well, you know what? We can't remain silent either. The system in our country is broken. The system is structured to work against black and brown people. And if we just remain silent, if you're a white person like me, it's like we're okay with the status quo. No, we need to actively oppose racism. We need to vocally oppose racism. We must become anti-racist and work for change. Because if we don't, the system is just going to keep producing what it's been producing. And the racial disparities in our country will continue for our kids and our grandkids. And by the way, one of the first places to start, if you're a white person like me, is by educating yourself about these issues. Educating yourself. You know, I started reading about these issues 15 or 20 years ago. So I want to encourage you, if you're a white person, read about these issues, listen to podcasts, watch videos. And by the way, we're going to put some resources, we have them on our website now, that would help you to understand these issues better, give you a better historical perspective and all of that. But real humility means serving other people unselfishly, even if it's really hard, and even if it involves things that might make us feel uncomfortable. All right, the fifth step to humility and happiness is humble yourself voluntarily. Voluntarily, James said, humble yourselves, underline those two words, in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. You know what James is saying? He's saying humility is a choice. It's something you do. It's a choice of the way you think and talk and act and respond to others. And how do you humble yourself? By putting God first in every area of your life, time, energy, money, every area. And then putting others second. That's how you humble yourself. God first, others second. And when you do that, the good news is if you humble yourself, God promises to exalt you. See, the way up is down. And the more that we humble ourselves, the more that God will exalt us. The only way to get God's power in your life to break free from besetting sins is to humble yourself. So which one of these steps that I've talked about today do you need to work on the most? Do you need to admit your weaknesses honestly? Do you need to evaluate your strengths realistically? Do you need to be grateful for your successes? Do you need to serve others in an unselfish way? Or do you need to begin to humble yourself voluntarily? What is it for you? Let's pray. Would you bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment? Wherever you're watching this, listening to this. And I know this isn't the same as when we're together in one room, but you know, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come right where you are right now and to speak deeply into your heart, to minister to you. And if there's an area or two that I've talked about today that you need to talk to God about, just do that right now. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Would you come into every home, into every apartment, into every car, into every job site, wherever people are watching or listening? God, would you come and do your work in our hearts? We don't want to be prideful people, God. We want to be humble. Help us learn, each one of us, how to be humble, Lord. You know, take however long you would like to for the Holy Spirit to minister to you. But if you would like someone to pray for you personally, you can click the live prayer button on your screen, and that'll put you in a private chat where one of our ministry team members would love, love, love to pray for you. Now, before I go, I want to pray a blessing over us, but just want to remind you, you know, next weekend, June 27th and 28th, we will not be having in-person services. So the earliest we would have in-person services is the weekend of July 4th and 5th. But like I've told you in the email, you know, we're looking at this week to week, and I'll keep you informed about what we're going to do each week. So make sure you're on, you know, on our website or getting my communications through email, looking on Facebook, those kinds of things, okay? I love you guys. I'm so appreciative of you. I want to pray a blessing over you right now. Lord, would you bless each one that's watching or listening right now? Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you soon.